This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Agreeing in part with the U.S. and Britain, U.N. weapons inspectors say Iraq did not account for stocks of anthrax and failed to declare what appeared to be mobile biological weapon labs. A new report from Chief Inspector Hans Blix to the U.N. Security Council does not draw the sweeping conclusions made by the U.S. and Britain to justify the invasion of Iraq in March. Both nations argue that ousted Iraqi President Saddam Hussein hid stockpiles of illicit weaponry, but they have not located any. Blix's new report does not identify any either. However, Blix said photos of mobile labs that U.S. officials say could make biological weapons were unlike any vehicle Iraq admitted owning in its reports to inspectors. Blix is preparing to leave his post late this month. He has been pushing the U.S. to allow international weapons inspectors back inside Iraq to join in the search for weapons of mass destruction. Secretary of State Colin Powell says President Bush's meeting with Arab leaders today in Egypt is important for gaining their support for the roadmap peace plan. Powell arrived in Egypt hours ahead of the president in order to meet with ministers from Arab countries. He stated one of the goals for Bush's audience with the leaders of Egypt, Bahrain, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia was to get them to strongly denounce the tactics of terrorism. On Wednesday, President Bush is expected to go to Jordan for his first meeting with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Palestinian Prime Minister Mahmoud Abbas. When Powell was asked if he thought anything concrete would come from that meeting, he replied, "Statements always come before actions, but we are expecting action."
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
More than a dozen college teams from across the country are in Dearborn, Michigan for Future Truck 2003. It's a competition to try and build a better SUV. The teams are trying to turn conventional Ford Explorers into lower emission vehicles with at least 25% higher fuel efficiency. The goal of the Future Truck 2003 competition is to accomplish this feat without sacrificing the performance, utility, safety, and the affordability that SUV fans want. As the fire season in Northern California officially begins today, dozens of firefighters are mopping up a 6,000-acre grass and brush fire near the Central Valley city of Tracy. The Bird Fire, which did not burn any structures, is now 100% contained, and fire officials on the scene say they expect the fire to be fully controlled by this evening. It started yesterday afternoon. State fire officials say the fire season would have normally begun about a month ago, but the wet, cool weather through the early part of May allowed them to delay the official start of fire season.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Aw, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
In Baghdad, thousands of Iraqi soldiers marched calling for compensation and pay or they will launch suicide attacks on U.S. soldiers. U.S. Administrator for Iraq Paul Bremer announced the end of Iraq's army and the removal of senior Ba'ath Party officials from offices. Bremer says they are dealing with the situation facing the former military soldiers.
The most important things we can do, as I tried to suggest, is to find ways immediately to rehire demobilized enlisted men into various tasks, security tasks, and, of course, cleaning up the sites which will eventually be used for training the new Iraqi corps.
Bremer says some of the soldiers will be rehired in the new Iraqi military. Stocks faded after a strong rally and finished mixed today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 47 points to 88.97. The NASDAQ was down 5 points to 15.90. The S&P 500 gained 3 points to 9.67. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Carfenic Minute. Out of sight, out of mind is dangerous advice when it comes to radiator hoses. After just 4 years of use, they're 100 times more likely to fail. When we come back, I'll tell you the signs.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered a company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
What you can't see can hurt you when it comes to radiator hoses. Hoses deteriorate due to chemical reactions between rubber and your car's fluids, like oil and coolant. Heat, age, and pollution also take their toll, causing tiny cracks that split, blister, or leak. To identify a defective hose, look at it. Is it scuffed, swollen, cracked? Now touch. Is it soft, gooey, spongy? These are sure signs. But even if hoses look and feel okay, internal deterioration, hidden from view, may spell danger. Be on the safe side. Replace hoses every 4 years. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing war, life's life.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. If you're listening on the internet, on the IE America Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Channel 145, White Rose Society, Radio Power Org, blah, 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 blah. Boy, didn't Al Franken hand Bill O'Reilly his ass over the weekend, huh? Wasn't that fun? Now that the FCC has made its decision, please pick up your remote controls, ladies and gentlemen, and turn to Fox. You like what you see? Too bad. The program tonight, produced by Catherine Bay, Robin Bittman announces for us. As always, the phone number here is 800-825-5937, or you can email mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. Finally, it's good to, I shouldn't say finally on Al Franken, because Al Franken's been kicking monkey ass for a long time, but on these little panel discussions, you know, when we came back from New York for the, when Kath and I went to the Talkers Magazine New Media Forum, and, you know, I had three experiences on one panel, right, Kathy? First with the Black Avenger. Again, I'm drawing a blank on his name. Ken Hamblin, right? Then that moron that sat to the right of me, Medved. What's his first name? Michael Medved. And then down on the left, the guy who would step all over dead bodies of Americans, dead American bodies and dead Iraqi bodies to have his little concerts, Glenn Beck. And it's, you know, Al Franken's right. It's time to for liberals to stop just sitting. Well, you know, I think maybe, you know, the president had. Well, you know, I don't believe in name calling. Well, Sean, actually, you know. Screw that! It's time to go after these people. Any chance? This is what we tried to tell the Democratic leadership when we went to that progressive State of the Union thing back in January, right? Progressive talk show hosts got to talk with all the leaders of the House and Senate, Democratic leaders. You know, progressive talk show hosts. All what? Both of us. But, you know, we tried to tell them, stop rolling over. Take off your pink tutu. Stop having Bush administration people scratch your tummy. Stop doing for the news media what Monica did for Bill. Stand up and call these sons of bitches, right? I mean, how hard is that, right? That's not hard at all. And everybody from Daschle to Pelosi to Feinstein to who else do we talk to? To Hillary, to Levin. It just went on and on.
Yeah, yeah, you know you're probably right. Yeah, you're probably right.
They're not going to do it. We know they're not going to do it. So it's going to take people like Al Franken. It's going to take people like me, by God. Any chance I get where I'm in a situation face-to-face with these people, I will call them what they are. You know, liars, thugs, neo-Nazis. So God bless Al Franken for saying what he said. The whole story with O'Reilly, you know, O'Reilly, like most Republicans, like all Republicans, O'Reilly is a liar. Like all media Republicans, he is a complete, total, self-aggrandizing liar. You know, to have made the statement a couple of times that his punk-ass show, what was the thing he hosted, Kathy, before, Inside Edition, that his old punk-ass show had won Peabody Awards. Yeah, I got your Peabody. You know, I mean, just a blatant lie. When he's called on it, you know, he said, well, I didn't say a Peabody, I said a Polk. No, you didn't, sucker, you said a Peabody. All of these people are liars, so why not call them? Why not just stick a finger right in their face and say, j'accuse, you know, you are a liar. You are a liar. That's what they all are anyway, right? So, what else we got today? The FCC ruling today. We got some sound for you on that from the dissenting, the Democrats on the FCC, two Democrats, three Republicans. It's hell, isn't it, when the public's use of the airwaves and the, quote, right, close quote, of media corporations to abuse the public's airwaves. When that has to be decided, the whole issue has to be decided by a partisan vote, by a political vote. Unbelievable. So we'll get to that in a minute. A little news item for you here. We just set another record. I thought we had set this record some time ago, but according to the newspaper over the weekend, we just set the record. We now have 2,019,234 people imprisoned in this country. That is as of Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I don't know. When was this, Kathy? I guess as of Saturday. So we now have 2,019,234 people in jail. We have overtaken Russia. We now have locked up in American jails and prisons a higher percentage of our citizens than any other country. Think about that for a minute, okay? A higher percentage of our citizens than any other country. China, forget about it. Zimbabwe, forget about it. South Africa, forget about it. Russia, forget about it. Fascist Spain, forget about it. Israel, nah, not even close. Iran, no way. The United by God States. How does it feel, American fellow citizen? Back during the 90s, the U.S. and Russia, you know, went back and forth for the position of the highest incarceration rate on the planet. They were ahead, and then we were ahead, and then they were ahead, we were ahead, they were ahead, we were ahead. But we've won. We've won. Another feather in George Bush's hat here, or somebody's hat. We have emerged unchallenged into first place now. We have 702 prisoners per 100,000 population. Russia has only 665 prisoners per 100,000 population. Now, when you consider how many of those people in prison are truly there because of their race or their economic status or the fact that they like to smoke a reefer, or the fact that maybe they would like to drop a little crack cocaine in their pipe, or maybe honk up a line of white powder. When you consider that, I read something that 80% of the people in federal lockdown are there on drug charges. When you think about that, it's shocking. When you think how many black and Hispanic or Latino men are locked up because they happen to be black or Latino, huh? Eh? Eh? When you think how many of those men are on death row because they happen to be black or Latino. Eh? Eh? Now, poor whites, same thing. But as a percentage of population, the blacks win hands down. The whites come in a distant fifth or something. So as a function of percentage of population, black men suffer at a higher rate of illegal incarceration or incarceration for things that if you are a wealthy white or a wealthy black, you can buy your way out of, right?
My son got busted with what, Sheriff? Well, understand you're running for re-election. Here, have the
other odd item from the weekend, Dick Cheney. This filthy, smiley android, Dick Cheney. Oh, Dick, you better pray there's not a God or that he has an enormous sense of humor. Your ass is toast, buddy. Dick Cheney, who will soon be dying because his heart is rotting away inside of him. But Dick Cheney gave the commencement address at West Point? Dick Cheney? A guy who lifted his leg and pissed all over the military when it was his turn to consider serving his country? What did Dick Cheney say? I had better things to do in the 60s than get involved with the military. So Dick Cheney goes to West Point and tells the graduating class of 846 cadets that they are beginning their military service at what Cheney called a crucial hour. For a nation still threatened by terrorists. Cheney, you and your punk-ass president are the terrorists in this country. You two and half your cabinet, 9/10 of your cabinet. You're the terrorists. And the sooner America gets rid of you, the better this country will be. But he stands there in front of 846 new graduates of the United States Military Academy and their families. And their families. Now, remember what they said about Bill Clinton?
Well, Bill Clinton said he loathed the military, which he never said. Well, Bill Clinton went to Russia and talked, which he never did. Well, Bill Clinton was a draft dodger, which he never was.
But here you have you have George Bush, who is a deserter at a time. Well, it wasn't really a declared war. See, that's the thing. Had it been a declared war against the Vietnamese, George could have been executed or taken to Fort Knox. Now, where do they take these people? But we weren't in a declared war. Cheney wasn't a deserter. Cheney just, like I said, lifted his leg and peed all over the U.S. military. So here he is. Here's Cheney at West Point. You know, you would think the West Point cadets, when they found out Cheney was going to speak, that when he walked out there to give the commencement address, had any of these men, these new cadets, these new officers, had any courage at all, they would have turned their backs on him. And just said, to hell with you, Cheney. We're not going to go die for Halliburton. Screw you. But it's the new military, right? It's the video game generation, military tradition. That doesn't mean anything. Just show me some sand niggers and let me kill them. Just like a video game. I don't care. Show me them towel heads. Show me those dark-skinned camel jockeys. Just let me kill them, huh? Zap, 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 zap. Is that too rough for you to listen to that on this program? Then maybe you should find another program, because that's what we're about. If you substitute Bill Clinton for George Bush over the past 6 months, what do you think would be going on in media? Huh? What do you think Hannity and the Pigman and O'Reilly and the rest of these thugs, would they be demanding Clinton's impeachment? Would they be screaming that there were no weapons of mass destruction and Clinton knew it all along and he lied to the UN, he lied to the American people, he lied, he put American troops in harm's way, he did this and he did that, right? Isn't that what would be going on? Huh? Why isn't it going on now? Huh? Yeah. All right, enough from me. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Quick break here, and I think we have a break coming up. Yeah, and then we'll come back and take your phone calls. 800-TALK-YES is the number, so do join us. And if I burned your ears during the first segment of the program, tough. You're an adult. You can handle it.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Yeah, we'll get to the Eric Ruta, to a right-wing terrorist, another ex-soldier trained by the U.S. military to bomb and kill, and brings his skills into mainstream America. Matthew is calling from Boston, our bureau chief up there. Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Hey, brother, how are you?
Fair to partly cloudy.
Long time no speak.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're working now.
Well, you know.
Working outside the home, as they say.
Got to pay the bills.
Right.
I just want to let you guys know that, by the way, I'm, I always been listening, so don't think I've abandoned you totally.
Oh, but, I know you're out there. I just wish you would register and post once in a while at the newmikemalloy.com.
You know, I will do that.
Thank
you. I promise you that will come probably tomorrow. So
okay.
I have, as you know, connections with retired members of the agency, as it were.
Yes, yes, you do.
And I will tell you that the agency is not happy.
I have read I've got a couple of articles on the stack. They're ready to revolt. This Bush crime family has just turned them all into horrors, and they don't like it.
Well, my connection, you know a little bit about,
right,
is completely disgusted, and apparently the inner workings of the agency are about ready to revolt. And I only say this because it's good news for those of us who are out there fighting the fight. And the inner workings of the agency, as it were,
mm-hmm,
are ready to do whatever they need to do to get rid of this SOB.
Well, and not up to the point of doing what the CIA did to Kennedy.
No.
Okay.
No. Absolutely not.
Okay.
Although, well, we'll just leave that where it is.
Okay. All right. That's good.
But I can tell you that the attitude, there has been some contact within the people that are still active,
mm-hmm,
and it is deplorable. The morale is completely shot.
Uh-huh.
The trust is gone.
Right.
And these are things that are not, they're not normal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, normally the agency will stand by their man, as it were.
Right.
They're not doing that now. And they have been strung across the coals. They have been lambasted. They have been embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about sort of, you know, if you want to go to 1984 Newspeak type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've really been hung out to dry, and I will tell you that I think the revolt and the uprising will come from within, and it's going to come from within the agency, and it's going to happen fairly soon.
I would love to see that happen. I'm also curious. They have the power and the connections and the intelligence to do something about this regime.
Yeah.
But I'm also curious as to how much longer Colin Powell is going to allow himself to be a sort of dubbed a house slave or a house servant for these white boys in the Oval Office. There more and more now articles are coming out. I don't know who's putting them out there. Maybe they're coming from the CIA.
Some of them are
about Powell not wanting to go along with this, Powell using the BS word
mm-hmm,
when he was presented mm-hmm with certain evidence that turned out to be no more evidence than the man in the moon. So not just the agency, Matt, I'm also wondering about how much longer the State Department is going to go along with this.
Well, the problem here is that much of what's coming out is from the agency. And as far as Powell goes, my contacts within, you know, inside.
Right, right.
That's an enigma in itself. I mean, it is absolutely beyond.
Hey, do you want to hold on a minute?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let me put you on hold and I'll come back because we've got a break coming here. All right, stay with us. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning. 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Flight attendants with Southwest Airlines began demonstrations at airports in Texas last week as contract talks turned to issues of pay.
We're just out at the airport doing a friendly demonstration. We have been in contract negotiations for over a year, and we're trying to negotiate a contract that will enable our Southwest Airlines flight attendants to continue providing the excellent customer service that they have for 33 years.
Tom McDaniel of Transport Workers Union Local 556 says Southwest flight attendants should be paid for all the time they spend on the job rather than simply time spent in the air.
We spend several hours a day working, turning the airplanes and cleaning the airplanes, for which we're not paid for.
McDaniel says the transport workers hope to resolve economic issues in the next 60 days. Median pay for Southwest flight attendants is less than $25,000 a year, a rate 20% below the industry average, making Southwest's flight attendants among the lowest paid in the U.S. airline industry.
A new report from a Delhi-based labor rights group says India's tea industry is in a state of near collapse. Faced with increased exports from Indonesia and Vietnam, which has depressed the global market price of tea by nearly one-third over the last 5 years, tea plantations in India have slowly been failing. Now the Center for Education and Communication reports that since the price of tea began falling, more than 60,000 people have been thrown out of work, and workers on at least 9 plantations haven't been paid since October of 2000. As a result, some plantations are being looted as workers divide up this year's crops among themselves as payment. The average daily wage for Indian tea plantation hands is about $1.60. The CEC says if the tea industry would first guarantee the basic living needs of plantation workers, it would go a long way to both increasing production and improving the quality of the crops.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Blood-Sucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We are talking with our Boston bureau chief here about the CIA about to go into open revolt over what the Bush crime family is doing to the intelligence community.
Well, I just wanted to sort of reiterate that they have been embarrassed. Mm-hmm. And I know this from some inside information, and the people that are still there that have to deal with this regime on a daily basis, they are not happy, and you know, it's kind of a catch-22. I mean, some of them are happy about it and some of them are sad about it. But I will tell you that there is an uprising that is going on internally, and if they can mount it safely and effectively, they will do so. And it could be being the term here, mm-hmm. The downfall of this regime.
Well, obviously, and I think it is obvious, Matt, it's going to have to come from the inside because
yeah.
Media is going to do nothing. And for the most part, the American sheep will think George Bush is just a wonderful leader and a destroyer of terrorists. So it's going to have to come from the inside, and I certainly would relish that day.
Well, what you're looking at is not just an overthrow. You're looking at I don't want to get conspiracy theorist on you here, but, you know, if these guys are going to do it, they're going to do it right. And if they've been damaged as much as I understand they have been damaged, mm-hmm. You know, the sky's the limit, as it were. Mm-hmm. They're just, they can't survive with what's been placed upon them, and they're going to have to counteract. And, mm-hmm. and if the agency counters, you know as well as I do, they're going to counter hard. So
I hear that.
Hey, keep up the great work, pal. We're still out here listening, even though I don't call in all that often. But you're still my hero. So.
Okay, thanks, Matt.
Right,
good
brother.
To hear from you. Take it easy, pal. And, you know, I'm not saying anything Matt didn't want me to say. He said it before on this program. He has family who were deeply involved for a number of years with the CIA. He knows what he's talking about, I think. Dave is calling from San Francisco also about the CIA in revolt. Is that right, Dave?
Yes, that's right. Well, I guess I'm going to take a little bit different bent here, if you will, as
okay.
far as the agency is concerned. You mentioned the Kennedy assassination earlier,
mm-hmm.
And the agency, and I agree 100%. Yes, they were the ones who masterminded the whole thing after all the other little pieces were together.
Right.
And needless to say, Lee Oswald didn't do it. But as far as what's going on now, I'm taken back to a few days, about 3 days after 9/11, when the agency met with all 4,000-plus officers and agents there at Langley, Virginia, at their headquarters, and they all went through this, what, two-day session or something, and then they came out and they said, oh, we apologize, we screwed up, we mm-hmm. didn't get the information out, or, you know, and that's not true.
Right.
The agency performed brilliantly. They sent that letter from Osama bin Laden telling, you know, who was behind it, where it would be.
Oh, everything
kind
was,
of weapons
yeah,
it would be used.
Everything was funneled upward. It's just that the Bush crime family knew this was their golden opportunity. You have to remember,
yes.
This country was coming out of the fog about the incompetency of the Bush regime. And
I just wonder, though. I mean, to be honest with you, Mike, I don't trust the CIA any more than I trust the Bush crime family.
I don't either, but one thing you have to keep in mind, when the fingers start being pointed, none of these government agencies want the fingers pointed at them.
Well, then that's true, and a lot of individuals within those agencies
exactly.
probably feel that way. But
exactly.
it's just that, you know, I looked back at that incident there at their offices at Langley,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, geez, what a play, you know. Here's
right.
the 4,000 people that Bush can blame, but in a sense, I wonder if it wasn't all a part of a larger game, because you know all the intelligence that's been coming during this war with Iraq and before it, and with Yemen and all the other places where Al-Qaeda had been caught and so forth. The agency's been providing the Bush administration, if that's what you could call it, with all that intelligence,
mm-hmm.
and I'm thinking, you know, well, what is the relationship between Bush and Cheney and Rummy and all these other people? I consider them criminals, but what's the relationship between them and the agency? And I know that they were over there with the covert paramilitary team saying, well, these agents, you know, these weapons are
right.
here and they're there and they're all over the place, and they run the satellite programs that look down on the ground of the U-2 spy plane, and they
mm-hmm.
run all the other intelligence operations. And I keep wondering if this bit of thing about the revolt within the agency isn't some kind of disinformation being passed along to, you know, good, hardworking, you know, clear-thinking people like you and me and your,
Boston Bureau Chief?
Yes.
Well, no, he has a family member who was CIA for 30 years.
Was that right?
Yeah, so it's
well,
not...
Well, he may be telling the truth.
Yeah, he's getting it. Matt gets it firsthand. He doesn't get it fifth-hand like I would
okay,
or
because,
you would.
I mean, it would do my heart good to see Bush safely, not, I don't mean like the CIA did to Kennedy, but
right.
Safely out of office.
I hear that.
Of all the crimes
I
that they've
that,
committed
yeah.
just in the last 2.5 years.
Well, I agree with you. Dave, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, pal. I agree with Dave's assessment of not trusting the CIA. Of course I don't trust the CIA. Absolutely not. The lies and disinformation that they and most of these spying agencies, if that's the right term. It's not really the right term. They're information agencies. They're not spying agencies. They're information agencies. But whether it's National Security Council, Defense Intelligence, DIA, Defense Intelligence Administration, CIA, NSC, NSA, no matter what it is, I think these people, they don't deal in intelligence. What they deal in is disinformation. Keep the truth from surfacing. Do I sound like a tin foil hat type? Okay, fine. I couldn't care less, frankly. All you have to do is see that movie with Mel Gibson and, conspiracy theory. You watch, and you know what is so weird? Mel Gibson is such a right winger. What, his father's hair and all sorts of uglies. Isn't that right, Kathy? Yeah. But, like Dave, like a lot of people, I think the CIA is not unlike the Mossad and the KGB, whatever the Chinese intelligence agency is. Their primary function is to sow distrust, confusion, disinformation, lies, innuendos. They are not there to, in my opinion, to funnel rational intelligence to help in this instance, our government make rational decisions vis-a-vis our interactions with the rest of the world. That's not their function. Their function is lies, distortions, and out of the confusion that they sow, they hope to help the U.S. Seize power or control events. Huh? Sure, of course. You don't have to be very bright to figure that one out. King David is calling from Wisconsin. Hey, David, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well enough to not ask how your weekend was.
I had a great weekend.
Oh, okay.
I had a good weekend. Once again, I missed some good television. Last night, I got to watch some of the rebroadcasts from the Booksellers Convention. I got to see Michael Moore last night, which was really, really cool. And what's your name? I'm drawing a blank. The Asian woman with long white hair, who's also an author. She was on the same panel, and Madeleine Albright. But I got to hear the Asian woman. I'm trying to think of her middle name is Hong, and I'm drawing a complete blank. Somebody will email it to me. But other than that, I didn't see any television. So consequently, I had a great weekend.
Okay. You know, thank you for your no mercy policy statement at the beginning of the show.
I really believe that. I have done that. Well, you know, you used to tune in the program in Chicago. You know, that's what got my ass thrown off of ABC or off of WLS. You know that.
It just reminded me of when Harlan Ellison, the great science fiction writer, took a look at the Nixon funeral and says, you know, the real problem with America, it just doesn't hold its grudges long enough.
right.
What I called about was this morning's little drama at the Federal Communications Corruption.
Right. Oh, my God.
And what really jumped out at me was this woman, Kathleen Abernathy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she's one of the Republican commissioners.
Right. You know, you look right into her eyes, you can see the back of her skull reflecting back at you, you know.
You know, I didn't see, all I saw was a little bit of video this evening with Michael Powell, who also looks like he's from Trollfamador or something, out there saying that, this is going to increase competition. You know, like I say, I don't care what part of the Bush administration, they don't bother spinning anymore. It's just total lies, absolute, blatant, full-ahead lies, because they know nobody's going to challenge them.
And the comment that Abernathy had, and I wrote it down, this is verbatim.
Okay.
Quote, "Democracy and civic discourse were not dead in America when there were only 3 to 4 stations in most markets in the 60s and 70s, end quote.
Uh-huh.
Well, Kathleen, that's to a large extent because of something that you in the current federal communications corruption don't have to deal with, and that was something called the Fairness Doctrine.
That's right. Also, we had a free and more or less free and independent print medium at that time, too. People like Seymour Hersh writing for the New York Times, writing about things like the slaughter in Vietnam. We had people like, I'm just drawing blanks now. All the writers, all the real journalists.
Yeah. Do I dare suggest Izzy Stone?
Sure. Izzy Stone. And people read. Back in the 60s and 70s, people did not get, 80% of Americans did not get 80% of their news from television.
Right.
I don't know what the figures were, but they weren't that. Most people got their news back then from reading newspapers. That's where you got your news. Now you got some of it on the radio. Mm-hmm. In the 60s, especially in the 60s, nightly newscasts from the networks were only 15 minutes long.
Right.
It was just a headline service. It was like headline news without all the fancy graphics. That's all it was. So people got their news differently from the way they get their news now. So Kathleen Abernathy is not only is she a liar and I'm not to gender castigate her, but a whore for the broadcast industry, but she understands that we Americans are stupid and we don't know. When she makes a statement like that, we don't rationally challenge her. You challenge her because you understand.
Right.
But we average Americans don't challenge the statement. First of all, we're not even paying attention. We don't care. Why should we care what goes on at the FCC? It's not our game. We don't care.
No, just give us, half a dozen people trying to make deuce on some island somewhere.
That's it. That's it. Entertain me, damn it. Entertain me. I got enough crap to deal with when my boss, I can't afford health insurance. My kid found a joint in his bedroom the other night. My wife is bitching at me. Why don't we have a bigger house? I don't give a tinker's damn about the FCC. That's the average. I'm sorry. I don't mean to stereotype and categorize Americans, but that's where we are. That's where we are. Who cares about an FCC ruling? Nobody cares.
Can we get the FCC to go on one of those Survivor trips?
Yeah, I hear you. David, thanks for checking in.
No problem.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Now, to argue with myself here, some of us do care. What's this from? Where in hell did I get this? I don't know where I got this press release, Kathy. But it says here, the two Democrats on this commission, Michael Copps and Jonathan Edelstein, had called for public hearings ahead of this sweeping new rule change. And that the changes be publicly aired before the vote so that most of us would understand what's going on instead of most of us not understanding. Now, when the FCC agreed, and remember, three Republicans and two Democrats, like any other political organization, majority in this case rules, and minority has not a damn thing to say about it. That's the way it works. It's not democratic on these boards and in the U.S. Congress, so on and so forth. It's a simple majority rules, especially where it concerns FCC. So when the FCC agreed to only one official hearing and refused to make the proposed new rules public, more than 150 members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, and a politically diverse group of organizations, including civil rights groups, churches, family values groups, labor unions, city councils, they all called for the FCC to reconsider voting on this proposal. Now, get this. The FCC received comments from nearly 750,000 people. So, like I said, I'm kind of making a argument with myself here when I said nobody cares. But 750,000 out of a population of 280 million, let's face it, really isn't that much. The FCC received, according to what I'm reading here, tens of thousands of requests to reconsider this proposal from the NRA members, National Rifle Association members alone. How about that? More than 99% of these 750,000 people opposed what the FCC did today. Nonetheless, the FCC went forward over the objections. And why shouldn't they? This is the Bush crime family. We had millions of people in this country and around the world say no to the attack and slaughter in Iraq. And the Bush-lying bastards sat right there and said, well, you people are stupid. They've got weapons of mass destruction. They're going to kill and maim and nuke and yada, yada, yada. How many signs did you see? No blood for oil. And, of course, the answer came back from the Bush bastards. The answer was, what are you talking about? This is not about oil. This is about freedom and, you know. Don't you feel like a fool? I feel like a fool. I didn't buy it, but I mean, I just, this is my, it's not my government, but it's the government of my country. So it doesn't make any difference how many people oppose anything that the Bush crime family decides to do. They got 750,000 comments, 90% of which were against what they did today, and it didn't matter. No, 750,000 doesn't mean anything. But put 6 or 7 or 10 million people in Washington, D.C. surrounding the White House, that would mean something.
Had enough of David, so we settled for Jay. At this point, anything different would be.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H cooling gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the Verbal Advantage they need for success.
To learn more about Verbal Advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit, bad credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved, guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved, guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way, guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams, guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
Hello, this is Andy Dave Rush inviting you to join the fun on Home Improvement USA. Great guests and experts offer home improvement advice and keep us updated on new products and technologies. On Home Improvement USA, we give away terrific prizes to all our callers. Join me, Handy Dave, along with Ken Walchek on location at Clark Devon Hardware in Chicago and engineer and handyman Jay Brentlinger for Home Improvement USA. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 Pacific on Saturday. Don't miss it. Home Improvement USA.
We broadcast it on Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific on IE America Radio Network.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
Well, the ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk.
not your father's radio program, Take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
The majority has a voice in talk radio. Here's Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Thanks, Deborah. The author whose name I couldn't think of was Maxine Hong Kingston, whose new book, The Fifth Book of Peace. And she was another one of the guests at the booksellers convention that was carried by C-SPAN 2 over the weekend. Incredible programming. Oh, my God. Miss Kingston was talking about her travels in Asia and the rumors of the first two or first three books of peace. And throughout her travels, she couldn't find them. She could find books of war. Hence, she wrote the fifth book of peace. And so, anyway, Deborah, thanks. That was the name I was trying to think of, and could not come up with it. Another one of those moments. Anyway, back to the FCC. The NRA, you see, the reason the NRA had tens of thousands of its members send letters of dissent to the FCC, suggesting that they not allow further consolidation, is the fact that the NRA understands, okay, the neo-Nazis are riding high now. What happens if the neoliberals start to ride high and there's one media outlet in a city of 6 million and they decide to say guns are bad? You see? So it depends on whose ox is being gored. But this is about commerce. This is not about motivating the American people to take care of their Democratic Republic or take care of their form of government. That is not what media are about now. What media are about is what all businesses are about, and that is profit, money. And the Republicans, being the pigs, utter pigs that they are, it's never enough. You know, it's not enough that a hoggish media conglomerate like Clear Channel Communications owns 2,000 radio stations in America. That's not enough, you see. What's enough? There is no such concept as enough to Republican hogs. It just doesn't exist. Some people, enough is, well, when I make $1 million, I'll be okay. Well, when I get a job that pays me $75,000 a year, that'll be okay. You know, to Republican pigs, nothing is ever enough. And that's what this is about. Now, the decision was, of course, a victory for this toy FCC chairman, Michael Powell. Christ, I have food in my refrigerator older than Michael Powell, and he's making decisions that are going to affect media and information flow in this country for decades. Think about that, truth seekers. We'll be back right after the break.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. Truth Seekers, this is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS.
This is IE America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. The leaders of the G8 have warned Iran and North Korea to comply with international nuclear safeguards. A statement issued to mark the end of the summit in Evian also calls for tighter control of arms. Suzanne Chislett reports.
The meeting of leaders from the world's main industrial nations appears to have achieved most of its aims. Differences over the war in Iraq may not have been resolved, but they have been discussed. And crucially, they haven't prevented other issues from making the agenda. The closing statement declares global terrorism and the spread of weapons of mass destruction as the preeminent threat to international security. It particularly highlights the situation in North Korea, asking for a commitment from Pyongyang to verifiably and irreversibly dismantle any nuclear weapons programs. U.S. President George Bush was the first leader to leave the French Spartan. He's moving on to Egypt for talks with Arab heads of state. Suzanne Chislett, London.
About 1,500 high school students in Ontario, Canada, are expected back in the classroom tomorrow after a 10-day absence due to SARS. The teens have been in quarantine since last Friday. Chris Cable is with the York District Catholic School Board. She says the school had to be temporarily shut down, but now expects things to quickly return to normal.
Doing a thorough cleaning, a thorough disinfecting. We have a protocol here at the school board for SARS hygiene, and indeed it exceeds the health board protocol.
The school was closed after it was discovered a student came down with a probable case of the deadly virus. Health administrators say the teen was exposed to SARS through one of his parents. That parent is a healthcare worker at a Toronto hospital where the latest outbreak originated. School leaders say the student is now recovering. There's no word on when he'll return to class.
Men and women, do you remember when you were thin? You look great no matter what clothes you put on. Now that great-looking body you once had no longer has to be a memory. Introducing Fat Inferno. Fat Inferno is a new diet supplement that cuts carbohydrates and increases your metabolism, all in one tablet. Fat Inferno boosts your metabolism so you burn off more calories even while you rest. In clinical trials performed on the active ingredients in Fat Inferno, people lost 320% more weight. So if you love to eat and don't want to count calories, fat, or carbs anymore, or try Fat Inferno. And with Fat Inferno, you'll melt away up to 7 pounds of ugly fat in the first week and one dress or pant size every 2 weeks thereafter, guaranteed. So if you love to eat, now you'll love to lose. Call now for your risk-free trial. Fat Inferno is safe, clinically proven, and guaranteed to work. Call toll-free 1-800-482-6158. That's 1-800-482-6158. 1-800-482-6158.
The director of Boston University's broadcast journalism program says the FCC decision to lift many restrictions on multiple ownership of newspapers, radio, and TV stations in large cities is all about the bottom line. Jim Thistle says television networks and newspapers are dealing with shrinking audiences.
Well, when you're faced with that reality, you know, what you do is you increase the number of channels or venues in which you can attract those viewers.
Thistle says it's possible that multiple ownership could create conflict among journalists if a newspaper reporter wants to hold an exclusive story until the next day, but the television affiliate wants to break it right away. The vote split along party lines with three Republicans in favor of deregulation and two Democrats opposed. Opponents are likely to carry the fight to Congress and the courts.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
The province of Manitoba wants people to know it's safe to visit. Spokesman Howard Gurevich says as parts of Canada deal with the threat of SARS and mad cow disease, Manitoba is trying to get Midwesterners to spend their vacations up north.
The message I guess I would like to state is that those things aren't happening in our province. They're isolated, unfortunately, in a couple of places, and we believe under control. And hopefully that won't affect people's decision to come here and have a good time.
The recently lodged Travel Manitoba effort is one of the largest ad campaigns in years. Its focus is on residents in Minnesota and the Dakotas. Stocks faded after a strong rally and finished mixed today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 47 points to 88.97. The NASDAQ was down 5 points to 1590. The S&P 500 gained 3 points to 967. I'm Darren Copeland, and this is IE America Radio Network News.
I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. Ah, the Old West. Bucking Broncos, Calvaries, and water pistols. Thank goodness in Hopalong Cassidy, it's still alive. Under your hood. When we come back, I'll identify one of technology's most wanted.
I'm Bobby Likas on the street, talking to people who love their cars. Excuse me, sir, you're putting a car cover on your vehicle?
You bet. I protect my car outside from the weather with a car cover, and from dings and dust when it's inside the garage.
Is it easy to put on?
Easy to put on and take off.
What's it made of?
Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark. Great protection at a great value.
Take it from people who love their cars. Buy a car cover made from Block It Fabric by Kimberly Clark.
If your Bronco or F-150 or LeSabre is bucking, it could be from a clogged injection system. A wonder of modern technology, fuel injection systems like tiny water pistols squirt precise amounts of gas into each cylinder. But like clogged arteries, when injectors become restricted with debris, gas flow slows. Result? Vehicles that stutter and waste fuel. For healthy injection systems, don't depend on the Calvary. Once a year, pour a double dose of injector cleaner into a full tank of gas. Run that tank out, then replace the fuel filter. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I guess we don't need to go any further into the FCC thing. It will be challenged in court, I'm sure. I'm not exactly sure how FCC rules and regs are challenged. I guess court is the place you go to. Interesting, one of the aspects of the FCC ruling today on further consolidation, the further destruction of the free flow of ideas and information in the society, was the section that said media companies can now control a newspaper and a television station, so on and so forth, in the same market. Well, that's existed here in Atlanta since I've lived here. Cox Communications, and I've lived here since 1970, essentially. Cox Communications, which owns the Atlanta Journal, Constitution, it used to be morning and evening, and then they combined it. So at one time they owned two city newspapers, Channel 2, WSB Television. They already own 6 radio stations in this market. And at one time they owned Cox Cable, which was the cable provider. Now, they had to divest the cable system. Oh, but hell, that was 20 years ago. So I'm not sure I understand what all the screaming has been about. The major media companies have been very slowly devouring everything in their sight anyway. I don't know. Michael Powell today made a statement. I'm not going to play all the sound for you that we had about the FCC thing because I think it's... we'll play some of it. This is Michael Powell, and he claims that today's 3-2 vote will allow more media... let me back up. Powell claims today's 3-2 vote to allow more media consolidation will promote localism and competition and diversity, right? That's, like I've said before, like I've been saying for a couple of weeks now, mainly just for me to hear me say it. You know, you have your own opinion, I'm sure. But these people don't even bother spinning anymore. They just come right out and lie. I mean, why bother putting spin? Yeah, what we've done today will promote competition and diversity. It's like waging war to have peace, right? Here's Michael Powell.
Today,
whack,
we complete the most exhaustive and comprehensive review of broadcast ownership rules ever undertaken.
Whack, whack.
This is an exceedingly difficult charge.
Whack.
But a critical one to fulfill if we hope to continue to promote the cherished values of diversity, localism, and competition.
Ah, sit down and shut up and go lose some weight, Michael. For God's sake, you're too young to be that corpulent. But there he was. Yeah. How old is Michael Powell? 32, 33? I mean, like I said, I have socks in my sock drawer older than he is. And this guy standing there looking in the camera and telling me, just Citizen Malloy, this is exceedingly difficult a charge, but a critical one to fulfill if we hope to continue to promote the cherished values of diversity, localism, and competition. Yeah, Michael. Okay, now there's another Michael on the FCC, Michael Copps. He's a Democrat. He's one of the two dissenting votes at today's hearing and vote. And here's what he had to say about Michael Powell's claim that consolidation equals diversity.
This decision allows a corporation to control three television stations in a single city. Why does any company need to control three television stations anywhere?
Right.
The decision allows the giant media companies to buy up the remaining local newspaper and exert massive influence over a community by wielding three TV stations, eight radio stations, the cable operator, plus the already monopolistic newspaper. The decision further allows the already massive television networks to buy up even more local TV stations so that they could control up to an unbelievable 80 or 90% of the national television audience. Where are the blessings of localism, diversity, and competition? I see centralization, not localism. I see uniformity, not diversity. I see monopoly and oligopoly, not competition.
Well, Michael, that's because you are not brain dead. Michael, that's because you are an FCC commissioner. You're a Democrat, and Democrats believe in diversity. Democrats believe in diffusing power rather than centralizing it. So it doesn't surprise me. Now, Michael Powell, once again from today's FCC hearing, Powell claims the FCC rules needed surgery, right? You know, Clear Channel only has 1,800 radio stations. We need some surgery here so that they can have 3,000.
I have heard the concerns expressed by the public about excessive consolidation.
Whack.
Though such generalized worries do not clearly suggest specific answers to the specific issues the Commission must address, they have introduced a note of caution in the choices we have made.
Yeah, right.
Keeping the rules exactly as they are, as some so stridently suggest,
stridently?
Was not a viable option.
Oh.
Without today's surgery, the rules would assuredly meet a swift death.
You know, when I listen to his voice, I want to say, sit down, shut up. Who gave you permission to speak? Doesn't he? He sounds like a kid, doesn't he? But see, once again, using the Republican trick, here's what he said. Keeping the rules exactly as they are, as some so stridently suggested. Michael, you need to look up the word strident in your handy dictionary. I'm sure you have one there by your desk. No, 750,000 people did not stridently suggest anything. They objected to the Republican idea of further consolidation and destruction of what's left of the free flow of ideas in the society. Stridently? Eh? What else did he say here? Though such generalized worries do not clearly suggest specific answers to the specific issues. Well, Michael, either you're stupid as you look or stupider, but there are specific answers to the specific issues. And the specific answer was stop what you're doing. Stop the further consolidation. And if you want to get more specific, Michael, go back to the fairness doctrine, Michael. And if you want to get even more specific, start ordering these media conglomerates to divest. How's that for specific, Michael? Huh? Surgery my ass. I'll tell you what surgery is needed. The surgery that's needed is to remove the cancer of you and the Bush crime family administration from this body politic. That's the surgery that's needed, Michael. Oh, now calm down. Calm down, Mike. Come on. You only have an hour and 45 minutes to go. Everything's cool. Too many Michaels around here. Here's Michael Copps again, the good guy, one of the two good guys on the FCC. On the typical in the Bush administration secrecy surrounding the new rules that passed today and how 99.9% of the public oppose this vote. Proof, if you need it, that the FCC isn't listening to the people, but you don't need that. Just, the, you know, it's Clear Channel. It's the Bush crime family metastasized throughout this very sick society.
I'm also troubled that the commission has refused to publicly disclose the rules we are voting on today. What possible harm can come from transparency? How can telling Congress and the public what we plan to do possibly be bad? And so we arrive at today. Citizens across this country will hear for the first time the proposals that we are adopting. Some of the details of the rule changes have leaked to the press. Some have not, because the text of the new rules didn't even come to my office until late last week. But even with this incomplete information, the public reaction against the proposed changes has been unlike anything the FCC has ever seen. Of the nearly 750,000 comments we have received, nearly all oppose increased media consolidation, over 99.9%.
But Michael, that doesn't mean anything to the Bush crime family. It doesn't make any difference. 99.9% of people can disagree. The Bush crime family unzips its fly and pees all over those people. Why bother even considering what they're saying? We had country after country after country, the people of these countries say, no slaughter in Iraq. We had Americans say, no slaughter in Iraq. We've had Americans say, we want fresh air and clean water. The Bush administration doesn't care, but there's magic in the Bush administration. Magic! They sprinkle the atmosphere every night when we're all asleep with fairy dust. Because 70%, or is it down? No, I think it's coming down. 58% of the American public still thinks George Bush is doing a good job. 58%. So Michael Copps, even though I respect you because you're a Democrat on the FCC, your stat there of 99.9% of the people in this country are opposed, or at least 99.9% of the 750,000 who took the time to write your office are opposed to further consolidation, that means nothing. Nothing to Republicans. It doesn't matter. The only thing that will matter to the Bush crime family is if 10 million people surround the White House and demand that this little rat bastard get out of the country, or at least out of the White House. Then they might pay attention, but maybe not. So as far as all the dissent raised, the opposition too, even though none of us, you heard Michael Copps, none of us knew what the rules were that were being voted on by the FCC. Even Michael Copps, an FCC commissioner, didn't know what he would be voting on until last week. And why is that? That's because the three Republicans on the FCC are following the Bush-Cheney crime model. Reveal nothing, tell nothing, hide everything. I mean, let's see, how long ago was it we were talking about the energy policy of the United States? Remember that? Energy. Did you know we have an energy policy? I don't know. Whatever happened to the energy policy? Do we have one? But the way Dick Cheney worked out the energy policy, you want information? You, the American public, whom this will profoundly affect, the energy policy? Screw you. Dick Cheney unzips his fly and pees on you. You have no right to know any of this stuff. sit down, shut up. Where it concerns newspapers, television, radio, all that sort of thing, you have no right to know any of this stuff. Sit down, shut up. Who do you think you are? Right? Stay with us.
Like them never fall at all. They're tough as sin. Let nobody in. They turn and spin your wheels, and nobody wins. Coincidence and likely stars, they dog your trail like a pack of lies. They whine at night when the lights are out. You toss and turn, pitch and roll this information. You spin it like a silkworm.
Quit smoking in 7 days? Now you can with Release HD, the all-natural homeopathic medicine now available without a prescription, designed to break your addiction to nicotine in just 7 days guaranteed. Listen to what internationally recognized Dr. Richard Cohen has to say about Release HD.
The beauty of the homeopathic medicine in the Release HD system is that it deals with the suffering, eases the withdrawal symptoms, and can take away the jitters. I strongly recommend Release HD to anyone who wants to quit smoking.
It's never too late to stop. The Release HD system goes to work immediately, stopping nicotine cravings, irritability, and withdrawals. Release HD is different from gums and patches because it works from the inside out, giving your body the nutrients it needs to break free. You can quit. Do it the easy way with Release HD.
Call Release HD now for your free trial offer. 1-800-519-5717 and quit smoking for good in 7 days guaranteed. Do it today with Release HD. 1-800-519-5717. That's 1-800-519-5717. Call now.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now, 1-800-823-0157.
In case you thought Washington couldn't get one whit weirder, meet John Graham. He's been installed by George W. as the czar of federal regulations, and his unstated assignment is to weaken or kill any rule designed to protect your and my health and well-being if that rule is deemed by big corporations to be too strong, too inconvenient, or, worst of all, too effective. Graham is a notorious right-wing laissez-faire nutball who has made a career fronting for corporations that want to escape our nation's health, labor, environmental, and other laws. Through a corporate-funded outfit he calls the Harvard Institute of Risk Assessment, he has given raw corporate greed quasi-academic cover by issuing studies claiming that, say, an anti-pollution rule protecting people's health has to be balanced against a polluting corporation's need for profit. How nutty is this guy? Graham recently engineered a Bush change in America's environmental policy, decreeing that henceforth any regulation to limit pollution should consider the relative monetary value of people's lives based on their age. For example, instead of basing clean air enforcement on the assumption that all lives saved by clean air are worth the same, Graham wants to rig the rules so that older people's lives are discounted in value. He's even got a price tag for you. If you're under 70, you're worth $3.7 million. But if you're older than that, he knocks down your value to only $2.3 million. This new Bush policy has been dubbed the Senior Death Discount, and it is so unprincipled and nutty that the head of the EPA has publicly disowned it, saying EPA will not, I repeat not, use an age-adjusted analysis in decision-making. Graham, however, says that while the senior death discount will not be applied now, he still will push it as official Bush policy. This is Jim Hightower saying, to help stop this kook, check out the National Resources Defense Council, NRDC.org.
With Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. I just have two more quotes for you here from Michael Copps, one of the two Democrats on the FCC five-member commission, one of the two Democrats who dissented and voted against further consolidation, further destruction, and interruption of the free, or, well, if not free, relatively so, flow of information in this country. Now, this comment from Michael Copps is on what FCC rules allowing media consolidation did to radio, you know, to begin with. And this is kind of a vision of what's to come for television, newspapers, and the Internet. I can remember back in 94 when I and my business partner, John Sinton, this is after I had been fired from WSB Radio from Cox Communications here in Atlanta in order to make way for Dr. Laura. They put her in my time slot, her syndicator program, but also because I was just a big of enough prick to these people that they didn't like it, and I refused to be managed the way they want. Pricky, you know. Kathy looks at me like, what did you just say? Pricky, like a prick on a thorn bush. You know what I'm saying? A thorn in their side. That's what I mean. But... And I wouldn't play by the rules that they, and it was their radio station, so, you know, okay, fine. They had a right. So they fired me. So my business partner and I, John Sinton, bought time at the rate of $150 an hour so I could do a three-hour-a-day, five-day-a-week program on WQXI here. And that lasted about 2 months. We ran out of money. But in that 2 months that I was on Quixie here in Atlanta, you know, we made the point. Sinton, John Sinton, who understands radio business the way most of us understand how to drive our own cars, he was the first one that turned me onto this and said, look, you know, radio as we know it is disappearing. Now, back then, Clear Channel wasn't called Clear Channel. Oh, God, what was the name? J-Corps. That was the name of it back then. And they only owned about 150 radio stations. And John could see what was going to happen. He said, you know, this entire business is going to change. And I got on the air and would talk about that. Well, that would be like talking about futurism or something. Who cared? I mean, who cares now? So here's Michael Copps on what FCC rules allowing all this further consolidation, or I'm sorry, what the original rules allowing consolidation did to radio. And this is just a vision of what's coming.
Radio deregulation gives us powerful and relevant lessons. When Congress and the Commission remove radio concentration protections, we experience massive and largely unforeseen consequences. We saw a 34% reduction in the number of radio station owners. Diversity of programs suffered. Homogenized music and standardized programming crowded out local and regional talent. Creative local artists found it ever more difficult to obtain playtime. Editorial opinion polarized. Competition in many towns became non-existent as a few companies bought up virtually every station in the market. This experience ought to terrify us as we consider visiting upon television and newspapers what we have inflicted upon radio. Clear channelization of the rest of the American media will harm our country.
And who's listening to Michael Copps? Who is listening to Michael Copps? So here he explains his vote of dissent.
I strongly dissent to this decision. I dissent on grounds of substance. I dissent on grounds of process. I dissent because today the Federal Communications Commission empowers America's new media elite with unacceptable levels of influence over the ideas and information upon which our society and our democracy depend.
God bless you, Michael Copps. There's always one voice out there, isn't there? Senator Robert Byrd, Representative Dennis Kucinich, FCC Commissioner Michael Copps.
strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Aw, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Bacteria and chemicals hide in clouds of dust that cross the oceans. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Every year, windstorms lift as much as 2 billion metric tons of dust into the atmosphere. As much as three-quarters of this dust comes from the region around the Sahara Desert in North Africa. Tropical trade winds carry it across the Atlantic Ocean, and with the dust come microscopic organisms and traces of pesticides. Dale Griffin is an environmental microbiologist with the U.S. Geological Survey. He studies this airborne dust to determine its origins and what's riding along with it. Griffin says the dust itself can cause health problems, but he says it carries other stuff that also puts people and ecosystems at risk.
Other types of substances that could cause potential problems are toxins such as herbicides and pesticides that may be transported along with these soils.
Powerful pesticides that include DDT are used in parts of Africa. Griffin says byproducts of these chemicals can compromise the immune systems of mammals. That means the use of these chemicals in Africa might have an impact on ecosystems clear across the Atlantic Ocean. Griffin says that's especially true when the chemicals are combined with airborne pathogens.
Where you maybe always had dust transport through time, bringing over, you know, a fraction of the total microbial population. What you didn't have before and why it may be a problem now is you are having toxic chemicals being transported along with it that are lowering immune response to these pathogens. So where they weren't a problem before, they're a problem now.
Research is continuing into the impact of this material on the health of people, coral reefs, and ecosystems on land and at sea. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Now, let me ask you something. Other than our little gathering here, if you're listening on the radio, on the few radio stations that carry this program, or the Internet, or Sirius satellite radio, other than here on this program, tell me if you have heard comments by Michael Copps, or by his fellow Democrat on the commission, Jonathan Adelstein, regarding the changes that, in Adelstein's words, are, quote, likely to damage the media landscape for decades to come, close quote. You see, most of the media companies who are supposed to report on this were in favor of the consolidation to begin with. So the only one I've seen, now, I'm not watching a television. Television can go screw itself, for, as far as I'm concerned. But when I come into the studio, we have two monitors in here. Kathy has on CNN and MSNBC, and we flip back and forth, to see, did somebody toss a nuke our way, or have we tossed a nuke, or, whatever. And all I have seen is Michael Powell, who looks like a chocolate-flavored Pillsbury Doughboy. He's just this ridiculous-looking bloated figure standing there. And I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to get down on people that might be corpulent. But I swear to God, you would think that Michael Powell, since his father was a former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, a military thug, and so on and so forth, that Michael would be in a little bit better shape. Wouldn't you think that? Okay, you wouldn't. I think that. Okay, I would think that. But there he is. I'm sorry for the ad hominem attack, but that's what he looks like. He looks like a chocolate Pillsbury Doughboy to me. You know, just like, you know, nothing to say, and does it real well. But there he stands. That's all you're going to hear. Now, where have you heard today Michael Copps? Maybe you have. I don't know. Where have you heard today Jonathan Adelstein? The two dissenting voices. It was Copps and Adelstein who came to Atlanta. I was on one of the local television stations here last week. They sent a film crew over, and one of the reporters, an old friend of mine, said, Mike, you know, we're doing this thing on FCC. Of changes. And this was last week. And they came over and it wound up a little package. I was on for about a minute. They went to Bortz and they had Bortz on. And of course, Bortz being the fake libertarian that he is, Bortz was in favor of consolidation. He didn't give a damn. Bortz is, Bortz is so wealthy and, whatever. And he's a right-wing neo-Nazi to boot. But anyway, the local NBC affiliate here ran that little 2.5 minute package that the reporter put together the night that Copps and Adelstein were here in Atlanta with a hearing. Where were they, Kathy? At Emory, over at Emory University. I don't know how many people attended. I would imagine most of the people, if not all the people who attended, were opposed to this. But it was a done deal. Anything the Bush crime family wants to do, to destroy this country, to destroy the free flow of ideas, to destroy our prestige, to destroy our environment, to destroy our economy, they will do. It doesn't matter how many people disagree. There's only one thing that matters where it comes to disagreement, and that is, like I've said, if 10 million or so people surrounded the White House and said, get your fake, phony ass out of there, it might do something. But short of that, it doesn't matter. So it's happening even as we sit here and talk about it. If you go through your local news tonight, and if you live in a major market, you have two or three, or you have probably all three network affiliates, and probably Fox. So you've got four of them. If somehow you can flip back and forth between your four news reports tonight, I'll bet you something, I don't know, a cup of coffee, that you will not hear that little bit of sound, those three or four sound bites that Kathy put on this program from Michael Copps. You won't hear it. You'll hear Powell, but you won't hear Copps and you won't hear Adelstein. You'll hear Powell. So it's already happening, you see? Christ, I don't know. Don't you get tired of it sometimes? Sure you do. Jerry is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, good afternoon, Mike.
Evening.
Good evening. That's right. Sorry.
Right. Or maybe it's still afternoon in Oklahoma. Who knows?
My corpulent arse could care less.
There you go.
Just as long as it's beautiful.
Right.
But my corpulent ass is so much more well-meaning than...
I know. You know what I meant by that. He does. He looks like a cocoa-flavored Pillsbury Doughboy. He just does.
Let me finish my chimichanga. And
sure,
I'll...
go ahead.
Okay. I know the comment I gave to Kathy was kind of very generalized, but what I'm basically getting to is that it's very evident to myself. I've been following the FCC. Poor Michael Copps. It's almost like he's putting his finger in the dike at the Three Gorges Dam.
I know. It's awful. Doesn't he sound just... he sounds very frustrated. He sounds like a man who's about ready to say, look, I've given my little bit to a government service. I'm out of here.
We're very lucky to have him there. I'm glad he said what he said. I think it's very true as to what's going to happen.
Now, have you heard anything from Michael Copps other than this program and perhaps C-SPAN? I don't know. Maybe C-SPAN.
I heard something several weeks ago on NPR.
But anything today, subsequent to this ruling, other than this program?
I have heard him on Bill Moyer.
Public broadcast. No. Today.
Today.
Jerry, read my lips. Today, have you heard anything from Michael Copps subsequent to that ruling this morning?
No.
No, neither have I. No place, nowhere. I've seen the Pillsbury Doughboy, chocolate-flavored branch,
right,
all over television. I've seen him. But Kathy says, that sounds racist. No, it doesn't sound racist. That's exactly what he looks like, Kathy. I talk about white thugs, and I talk about brown thugs.
Talk about white crackers, you can talk about.
I can say that. I have permission. I have permission to talk that way.
No, but you're absolutely right. And it's very much like, I hope the Democrats are waking up to this. It's like the Democratic debate.
Oh, yeah. Where's the Democratic Party leadership today? What, they're all hiding?
Well, you can't get the debates unless you can get on the Internet. And with my 56K modem, when they have the debates, it gets tied up. I don't have a T1 connection. So, like most Americans, I don't even know that it happened.
Now, with further consolidation, Now, watch, Jerry. Next year, when America is clamoring to hear debates, what if the further media consolidation, I mean among the Democrats, and even among the candidates, if further media consolidation continues apace, then the media conglomerates will say, well, wait a second. Here, we've got several reality shows on. I'll tell you what, okay, we'll do the debates. We'll do it after midnight, after we get Nightline off, after we get Leno off, after
we get... Mike, your point is so well taken, because that's why this is so insidious. It goes to the point of what another person that you aired comments made about, why does any media, why does any company need more than one channel in any one market at any one time?
Right.
It goes to the motive as to what's going... It's not about money.
It's about power.
It's about power.
And it's about control.
It's about control. And that's why I think I really do know how this is going to work itself out.
Yeah.
Because the laws that they are now implementing and the regulations that they are now destroying...
Yeah.
Are going to lay the foundation for the destruction of this nation, so that in 2 years, like you say, I promise you that the demolition of things like the communications industry will be silent. It will be a silent implosion.
And
you will not hear when people go after the owners of these stations.
Right.
You will not hear about it. It will not be broadcast.
I hear you.
Do I?
Huh?
It'll be like that radio station in Ohio that had the chemical spill.
Yeah.
That everybody tried to call in and find out what was going on.
Oh, right. And it was all automated. It was all automated. A clear channel station, right.
And the communists were right. The capitalists will sell them the rope by which they will use to hang themselves.
That's very true. Thanks, Jerry.
Ciao.
I'll see you. Oh, my God. Lillian is calling from Alabama. Hey, Lillian.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, I want to lighten your spirit.
All right.
Want to give you some, when you see this is a war going on on us.
Yeah.
You know, they mind playing with our minds, okay?
Right. Yeah.
Now, we are dealing with crazy, murdering lunatics.
That's true. That's right.
Okay,
yeah.
So... You're not going to expect them to act ordinary, a normal person in that maniac institution. Not going to act like me and you.
I know. Lillian, do you know how to fire a rifle? Do you know how to shoot a rifle? Do you know how to shoot a handgun?
I can't see to shoot one.
You can't see?
Uh-uh.
Oh, okay. What, you got some vision problems?
I got to outthink my opponent.
Well, do you have a grandson or a nephew who could tell you where to point your rifle or your shotgun?
Yeah, well, I can
when the time comes.
I can point and see good enough to point.
I just wondered, Lillian, because when the barricades go up, I want to be on your side.
Well, see, we don't have it as bad as it's not. It's all in the mind.
I know.
Played in war upon.
I know.
How you win against all this craziness
right.
is to keep focus on what's needed.
That's what we're doing. But it's still good to know how to shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the last. Hey, I'm writing poetry about it.
Yes, I know you are. I know you're a poet.
And I'm gonna play it on. I'm gonna put some music behind it and I got a tape recorder. And I'm gonna play it up and down the street.
When you get some of those short poems, they got to be short poems. One of these times, you can do one on this program, okay?
Well, this one is pretty short because it's only. The book 1984 by George Orwell,
right?
Big Time, by Cruel, Godless, Stupid, Weak Minds, Stupid, Wicked Fantasy, The Stupid, Wicked Fantasy, Power, Greed, Addicted Lunatics, Try, The Dog Us Out, Use Us Up, They Believe They Can Fast Kill Us Like Hitler Killed the Jews, Gone Buck Wild Doing Wicked Wrongs, Nothing Wicked They Won't Do, A Dangerous Lethal Problem, But Stupid Is Weak.
That's good. I like that. I like that, Lillian. All right, listen.
I want to play that song, you know.
Yeah, well, put some music behind that. Put a little banjo behind that.
See, you can make... We got so much opportunity to kick behind if you communicate. Because I'm a Gemini.
Uh-huh.
Three planets was in
Aries. Okay, no, wait, Lillian, you're getting too deep.
Uranus and the sun is together.
I got it. I got it. What you need to do is keep writing poetry, but learn how to shoot. Okay.
I shoot with my mouth and ideas.
But that's good too. That's good too. But you got to learn how to shoot that shotgun. Lillian, I got to leave it there. Thank you, dear heart. I appreciate you checking in. You have a nice evening. Terry is calling from Denver. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. I just have a story about how the consolidation went in 1996. I had started working for KBCO in Denver, and it was owned by Noble Broadcasting back then.
Uh-huh.
And one of my first duties was to write letters to the FCC, and it was to encourage them to pass the Telecommunications Act. And so to confuse the FCC commissioners, they told me to write one on each letterhead, then on the Noble Broadcasting. And then I had to do it on umpteen different letterheads.
Right.
So that these guys were thinking that, you know, oh, my God, look at all of these people.
Look at all the diversity.
It's amazing. They all want us to pass this. So.
Now, wasn't it, correct me here if I can interrupt, Terry, didn't it used to be every 2 years the broadcast license would come up for renewal, or was it 3 years, and radio stations and television stations had to publish, usually in the lobby of their building, that anyone who had a complaint against that radio or TV station for not serving the public could write to a certain address, FCC in Washington. Remember all that?
Well, I do, and I was in charge of the public file also.
Uh-huh.
But, you know...
Was it every 2 years?
It was in nice, neat order.
Right, but was it every 2 years that the licenses came up for renewal?
No, they changed that because it was a difficult process. And then when I went to Chancellor Broadcasting, that was one of my first jobs. And you know, they should have had their attorneys doing that,
sure,
not me.
Sure, sure.
But. Anyway,
that's a funny story. So you had to write like it was all kinds of diversity in the station you worked for.
Right, and I was signing different people's names, you know, this manager and that manager.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they had me do this was because we were going to buy J-Corp. That's what we were told. And I kept thinking, how can we possibly buy J-Corp? I get people calling me telling they're mad because we owe them $40.
Right,
you know, he doesn't pay his bills.
Right.
And so the day after the day after he signed the Telecommunications Act,
right,
we were bought by J-Corp.
Uh-huh.
I lost my job.
Well, sure.
I went to go work for Chancellor Broadcasting, who was pretty big in buying stations all the time. And by the time I left, there was that same rumor. We were going to buy Clear Channel.
Yeah. Well, nobody.
Not so Clear Channel bought Chancellor, and that was, I think, their last major purchase.
Yeah, that is a funny story. That is a funny story.
You know, and it happened all within 2 years.
Yeah.
It was quick, and it was over.
It was quick. It was over. It was efficient. There was very little blood in the water, and the American public never really understood.
And they didn't know, and all the people just came in every day, and they'd turn on their computers, and they'd check their stock. to see where the Chancellor stock was, because they were throwing stock options around like candy.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's great to be an American, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I hear you. Hey, thanks a lot, Terry. Sure. Thanks for checking in. I appreciate it. Yeah, I'm so old, I remember when radio and television stations used to have to request a renewal of their license, and people could... I know at one time it was every 2 years. I guess the time frame that Terry and I were talking about, it became every 5 years, and it got to the point where radio and television stations didn't even bother posting. They would just send in the application, knowing full well it would just be stamped by some, you know, functionary FCC, and the license would be renewed. And there was, it got to the point where there was very little, if anything, that you could do to get your license pulled, unless you used one of the seven bad words, or said something nasty about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, something like that, maybe you could lose your license. But other than that, nobody cared. And the result of not caring, of course, is what we have now.
Everything I know about my country, I learned on TV. The man on the screen tells me who is our enemy. They say that we are free and we must fight to be number one. So when the army calls, I'll grab my TV, my car and my gun. And the TV God watches over me, opens up my eyes, shows me how to see all around the world every night and day.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
Place to be for entertaining weekend programming is IE America Radio Network. The Doug Steff and Talk Radio Countdown on Saturday mornings features the top 10 stories and issues in talk radio across the USA, followed by the Bobby Likas Car Clinic. If it has to do with your vehicle, Bobby Likas will tell you how to fix it the right way. The home improvement experts and Home Improvement USA will answer your home fix-up questions. And if you like antiques, you'll love Antique Talk with Christopher Kent. Pet owners, you can ask your questions about your loving pets during Talking Pets with John Patch. Sunday mornings begin with the best of Doug Steffen's Talk Radio Countdown, followed by the employee's lawyer, Stephen Sack. For you high-tech wizards, Into Tomorrow with Dave Graveline will keep you informed with the latest news on today's technology. Ramblin' with Ramsey will update you on the hot vacation spots around the world. Then the real animals come out during the live Sunday evening call-in show, Animal Talk.
It's a cross between Wild Kingdom and Saturday Night Live.
Mark Hannes, Dr. Brad Davis, and Donna Blumble will answer listeners' questions about pets from fish to feline. To get these programs, call 1-800-397-8255. For now, listen to us live on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
Four and a half before the hour. JRA, our Democrat in Tallahassee, sent this email in. And he makes a good point, or she makes a good point here. About consolidation, JRA writes, the decision in favor of media consolidation must have the right wing quaking in their boots. After all, the liberal media now has the power to consolidate their total control of the media they already dominate. The right wing must surely be doomed now. You, of course, catch the irony and the sarcasm there. Thanks, Jerry. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The people people who have been warning America about the liberal media are the ones celebrating the most over this consolidation, which means a further lockdown into the hands of neo-Nazi conservatives or corporatists, one of the two. Corporatists are there to make money, that's all, and they will not they're not risk takers. That's one of the reasons this program will never, ever, 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 ever be on major market stations across the country on a syndicated basis like, say, Sean Hannity or the Pigman or any of these guys. Not because this program can't compete in the marketplace of ideas. That's laughable. That's a joke. But anyway, so here we have liberal media, right? Isn't that what the pig boy and the pig man and the psychopath Michael Weiner and all these people haven't? Don't they tell you that day in and day out? Michael Medved and Glenn Beck and Bortz and the rest of these knuckle draggers. Isn't this what they always talk about? The liberal media, totally dominated liberal media. And all of these right wingers have been in favor of consolidation. So what does that mean? Does that mean now, as JRA points out, that now the liberal media is going to consolidate its power? And, gee, the conservatives won't have a chance, will they? You see the asininity of that point of view. Of course you do. I understand you do. Of course you do. But one begins to wonder why the right-wingers don't see their own asininity, right? Well, that would require introspection and thought, and I guess that's not going to work. All right. I know you're holding on. When we come back, your phone calls. And I want to try to move on. You know, the Christian, this psychopath Eric Rudolph, who is part of the Christian Identity Movement and probably the killer of, two or three people and wounded 150 others. He was nabbed over the weekend, too. Huh? Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Dude,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy. On the IE America Radio Network.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and for 2 hours every day, I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls. We'll be talking about the stories behind the stories in the day's news. That's the Tom Hartman Program, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
America Radio Network News. I'm Darren Copeland. Countries dealing with the SARS outbreak are being urged to stay vigilant as officials with the World Health Organization warn that this is not the time to drop our guards. Severe acute respiratory syndrome may be on the retreat in parts of Asia, but UN Health Agency spokesman Bob Dietz says, quote, "We realize that it's not an easy thing to get rid of. Since it was first detected in southern China last year, the pneumonia-like illness has killed more than 750 people and infected over 8,300 worldwide. However, officials in China were able to report no new confirmed SARS deaths yesterday for the first time since late April. That was not the case in Canada's largest city, Toronto, where despite what Dietz hails as a really developed healthcare system, the death toll has now reached 31, leaving more than 5,000 others quarantined throughout the country. United Nations Special Envoy for Iraq, Sergio Vieira de Mello, arrived in Baghdad today. He says that there's a lot of work to be done as the UN prepares to coordinate with the Iraqi people and the interim administration to reconstruct the country.
We have a huge task ahead, and one that my colleagues, I'm sure, will help me carry out. The United Nations has been asked to coordinate, as you know, activities in a number of areas, ranging from reconstruction to economic development, civil administration, police, and justice.
UN arms inspectors also say today that Iraq had not accounted for stocks of anthrax and failed to report what appear to be mobile biological weapons laboratories. UN Chief Weapons Inspector Hans Blix says photos of mobile labs that U.S. officials say could make biological weapons were unlike any vehicle Iraq admitted owning in its reports to inspectors.
If you're losing your hair, then I have great news for you. Now you can have twice as much hair within 90 days, guaranteed. Announcing Hair Advantage, the world's most advanced hair regrowth system that will reverse baldness, fill in embarrassing bald spots, and regrow up to twice as much new hair, guaranteed. The secret of Hair Advantage lies in a recent medical discovery that showed 95% of all hair loss was due to the body's overproduction of DHT. Hair Advantage stops DHT from attacking your hair follicle as it starts regrowing new hair in balding areas. Hair Advantage contains a patent active ingredient that was approved by the FDA for hair regrowth. In clinical studies, the majority of people regrew their hair, with almost half experiencing dense hair regrowth. So call now for your risk-free trial, and you can have twice as much hair within 90 days. Guaranteed. Hair Advantage is safe, clinically proven, and effective on virtually everyone. Call toll-free 1-800-213-4495. That's 1-800-213-4495. 1-800-213-4495.
Europe's first attempt to reach Mars is now underway. A Soyuz rocket blasted into space from Kazakhstan, carrying with it a British-designed lander that could reach the surface of the Red Planet towards the end of the year. Simon Marks reports.
It was a textbook launch from Baikonur in Kazakhstan. The Soyuz spacecraft carries with it the Beagle 2 lander, Europe's first attempt to explore Mars. The European Space Agency says the Beagle 2 will touch down on Christmas Day. Director David Southwood says he's confident of success.
The Soyuz is the most reliable rocket on the Earth. It's a very well-tried system and a very cleverly simple system.
But it could get busy up there on Mars. The Americans are sending two probes to the planet this summer, and a Japanese spacecraft is expected to reach the planet early next year. Simon Marks, Washington.
You're strapped in to 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engine.
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Suspected serial bomber Eric Robert Rudolph has arrived in Birmingham, Alabama, where he's facing charges in the deadly bombing of an abortion clinic in 1998. After 5 years on the run, Rudolph was arrested in North Carolina on Saturday. He arrived in Birmingham by jet and in FBI custody after waiving his extradition rights this morning in North Carolina. He'll stand trial in Alabama on charges connected to the abortion clinic bombing. Rudolph will also be tried in Atlanta, Georgia, for his alleged role in three other attacks, including the 1996 Olympic Park bombing that killed one person. He has not yet entered a plea, but his court-appointed attorney told reporters his client was not guilty of the 21 charges against him. Stocks faded after a strong rally earlier, and the major market averages finished mixed today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up 47 points to 88.97. The NASDAQ was down 5 points to 1590. The S&P 500 was up 3 to 967.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. Out of sight, out of mind is dangerous advice when it comes to radiator hoses. After just 4 years of use, they're 100 times more likely to fail. When we come back, I'll tell you the signs.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas. 10 years ago, I discovered the company with the best fuel injector cleaner, BG Products. Now wait, there's more. To do the job right requires cleaning both the fuel and the air induction systems. The process is called BG Complete Induction System Service. If you want your vehicle to run like new, don't settle for anything less. To find a shop near you to perform this service, go to bgfindtheshop.com. That's bgfindtheshop.com.
What you can't see can hurt you when it comes to radiator hoses. Hoses deteriorate due to chemical reactions between rubber and your car's fluids, like oil and coolant. Heat, age, and pollution also take their toll, causing tiny cracks that split, blister, or leak. To identify a defective hose, look at it. Is it scuffed, swollen, cracked? Now touch. Is it soft, gooey, spongy? These are sure signs. But even if hoses look and feel okay, internal deterioration, hidden from view, may spell danger. Be on the safe side. Replace hoses every 4 years. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. We're at 800 Talk Yes, if you'd like to join in here. Joe is calling, our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the FCC ruling, if nothing is done to overturn this. I wonder, for one thing, if the Democratic Party is going to start moving to the right so they don't get completely locked out by the media.
Start moving to the right?
Yeah.
Isn't it funny, though, that it appears that the liberal media has totally taken over with further consolidation? Let me ask something, Joe. Why is nobody in, I don't know, on talk television or talk radio on the right screaming, oh my God, this means the liberals now controlled it completely? Where's that argument?
Well, I guess they got a really short memory or something. I mean, you know, I'm supposed to figure out the conservative mind.
Well, but you get my point.
Of course I do. Yeah, I was wondering, did you happen to, were you able to check out the first hour of the Buchanan and Press show today?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. So they had Ralph Nader on there talking about the media monopolies. And guess who MSNBC trots out? They trot out one of their heavy guns to take them on the debate. Jerry Nachman, who's the head of programming and whatever for MSNBC.
He's part of management, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Can you imagine? So when they finally have Nader on there and talk about something like that, they trot out management.
Did they have Michael Copps or the other guy, Edelstein?
You know, on their video clips, they might have had something by those guys, but I mean, you know, not in the actual program itself to debate or anything. And God, what a vicious, greasy, sweaty pig that Nachman is, and what a small world it is in the broadcasting world. Cause, didn't Nachman used to edit the New York Post?
I believe he did. Yes, yeah. I did. Yes, I do.
Yeah, the New York Post.
Right, which is
owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Right, which is a Murdoch property. Right.
Yeah, Rupert Murdoch, of course, owns the Fox News Channel.
Right.
And of course, they gave $50,000 to Al Gore in 2000. So I mean, you know, the whole thing goes round and round. The media, you know, just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, it just might.
It just might. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you checking in. Oh, God. Janice is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Hey, Janice, this is your first time calling, right?
Let me tell you who I am.
Okay.
I ran for Pete Domenici's seat in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, okay.
In this last election. My name is Francesca.
Francesca.
And
oh, we've talked before, haven't we?
We have.
Yeah.
And the...
I said something about Bridges of Madison County when you called in last time, because that's what the main female character's name was, Francesca.
Oh.
Yeah, but anyway. So, you're calling in tonight under the name Janice. Why?
Well, the reason that I called really is twofold.
Okay.
Is that it's really important that we not have big conglomerates holding all the licenses. Because in this last election, I learned something.
Yeah.
I learned that it is the independent owners of radio stations that are going to allow a candidate like myself, one that doesn't come from with corporate backing, to be interviewed on the radio. And one reason that that I was able to get interviews around the state during the primary is that the independent radio owners were very opposed to my opponent, who had been on the FCC and who had not acted to protect their rights or to help them, and was really disposed to help the big corporations.
Right.
And so I was, you know, they wanted an alternate voice, and they frankly were unhappy with her performance on the FCC. The other thing that I wanted to bring up is that although sometimes Pat Buchanan gets vilified a lot, Pat Buchanan was against this consolidation and spoke on his program.
Well, a lot of right wingers are against consolidation. That does, you know, even a stopped clock is correct twice a day. Pat Buchanan to me is very entertaining, and he certainly makes some good points about anti-NAFTA and anti-globalization. But other than that, I mean, let's face it, Pat Buchanan is an amiable psychopath.
Well, I think he's fun. Give credit. Credit is due. That's
yeah,
all I'm saying.
Sure.
Another thing is that Jerry Nachman really is slimy.
Yeah.
During Buchanan and Press at 1 o'clock here, he did not stick to the issues. Instead, what he did is he took personal attacks at Nader and at Buchanan because they disagreed with him.
Yeah.
And thank goodness for Buchanan and Nader, neither one of them sunk to the level of Jerry Nachman, but he was personally insulting to both of them.
Well, I'm not surprised. Most of these people are insulting, and they're the first ones to say, oh, you know, quit insulting. Hey, listen, Janice, thank you. I have to move on. I appreciate you checking in. I just looked up, and I see Ronald McDonald's favorite date Ann Coulter is on MSNBC. If you go to Bart Cop, you know what I'm talking about. There she is. God. Oh, turn it off. Thank you. Charles is calling from Augusta. Hey, Charles, welcome to the program.
Mike, here I am again, deep in the bowels of the free speech ghetto.
Yeah, I hear that.
Mike, you're talking about this FCC decision being litigated where, in the spy court?
That's probably where. Well, it's just as secret. Just as secret as the FCC decision, just like Michael Kopp said, there was no public disclosure of what was being debated, no disclosure on what was to be decided, and how the outcome of the decision, as it was rendered today, how would it affect Americans. No, you know, they don't. The Bush crime family, I don't care if it's the branch run by Dick Cheney or Michael Powell or Paul Wolfowitz, they don't talk about what they're doing. It's none of your business, Charles. It's none of my business. It's none of the American people's business. You understand?
Well, you were talking about the book expo this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you see Michael Moore?
Yes, I did. I watched that, I guess, during a rebroadcast last night. That was great.
Well, he's going to have to revise the title of one of his books now.
Yeah?
Well, when you throw in J.C. Watts, Michael Powell, and Colin Powell, don't you think stupid black men is in order now?
Yeah, but see, white people have always tried to make themselves look like they're smart. So that's why stupid white men, I think, works.
Well,
you know what I'm saying.
I think it may just work for those three because...
Well, Michael Powell, to me, like I said, and now let me ask you something, since you're American of African descent. My producer is a little bit upset when I said Michael Powell reminds me of a chocolate doughboy, Pillsbury doughboy. She said, now be careful. She said in my headphones, be careful, you're getting racist. I said, no, I'm not. Do you think that's racist, Charles? I don't think it's racist.
I don't think so.
I don't either. He looks like a cocoa-flavored Pillsbury doughboy. To me, that's exactly what he looks like.
And in fact, Michael Powell is probably one of the whitest black guys
that
I've ever
seen
before in my life.
Right. That's right. You know, it's that one drop rule, right, Charles?
Well, I better not talk too loud myself because, it kind of fits with me, too.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. But that's all right. We're all in this together, pal.
Hey, that's true. And Mike, I'm interested in seeing what you got to say about my friend, Mr. Rudolph. I had a feeling that he was going to surface because... the weapons of mass destruction were still not being found, and I said, there's got to be something that's going to happen now to take that news right off the screen and give us something else to talk about.
Yeah, didn't we mention, somebody mentioned this Friday that the reason Eric Rudolph got caught was because they talked him into giving himself up to distract away from Bush walking around over in Auschwitz where his grandfather made money on the slave labor of Jews. And Eric Rudolph now, okay, Eric, you've had 7 years. When did he disappear, Kathy? 96? 97? Whatever. You've had 6-7 years of... a lot of fun living out in the bush. Now it's time for you to go turn yourself in to distract everyone. I don't know if any of that's true. But this guy is a punk. This guy is really, really bad. And I hope I've got time to get into it tonight.
Well, Mike, isn't it kind of ironic that they catch Rudolph in Mayberry and Barney Fife actually caught him?
Yeah, I know. That poor boy that caught Rudolph. He's going, boy, put your hands up. What's your name? My name's Eric Rudolph. Oh, damn, it is. Where's my $1 million? Thanks, Charles.
All right,
appreciate your call. Yeah, you probably, it's a 21-year-old rookie cop in left kneecap, North Carolina. All right, was it Murphy, North Carolina? Is that where they popped this guy? This young boy. To me, he's a boy. I don't give a damn if he's 21. To me, he's a boy. This young boy in Murphy, North Carolina, sees somebody rummaging through the garbage at, 4 o'clock in the morning. It says, put your hands up. Turns out to be this Christian identity movement killer named Eric Rudolph. Yeah, what? Oh, okay. He's innocent until proven guilty. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Okay. Now, this is a guy who's wanted on 6 federal explosives counts. The explosion at the Olympic Centennial Park back in 96. 1998 bombing of an abortion clinic in Birmingham. where a cop died and a woman was severely injured. 1997 bombing in Atlanta outside a gay nightclub in an office building that had a clinic that performed abortions. One person died in the bombing here at the Olympics. They said she died of a heart attack from what happened. Eric Rudolph, where did I hear this? He was a Holocaust denier at a very young age. I think he was around 9 or 10 or 11 or 12 years old. He wrote a paper, saying that the Jews were liars and no such thing had ever occurred. Now, come on, folks. I don't care how much of a racist or an anti-Semite somebody is. When you're 10 years old, you're not going to write a paper on the Holocaust never occurred unless your brain is already just absolutely eaten up with murderous, murderous bigotry. Eric Rudolph was brought up in the Christian Identity Movement. That's the movement that believes that gays should be executed, that Jews and people who are not white are not really completely human. And these people call themselves Christians. They believe in Leviticus, kill, maim, destroy, in the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? I'm a minimum wage renegade, a master of cypher. They got great big guns, little tiny brains. I'm on a rhythmic rampage, burn up the Everglades. I'm on a rhythmic rampage. Your Honor, I didn't know she was underpaid.
I am driven. We have our to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
What magazine was the late Senator Paul Wellstone talking about when he said, at a time of growing media concentration, this magazine is an invaluable source of news and information that corporate media would too often prefer to ignore? He was talking about In These Times, a bi-weekly magazine of news, politics, and culture. In These Times has won more Project Censored awards than any other magazine. For 27 years, In These Times has provided groundbreaking coverage of the labor movement, feminism, grassroots politics, and minority communities. If getting a perspective other than what's in the mainstream media is important to you, In These Times is essential reading. In the words of best-selling author Barbara Ehrenreich, to people who say they're sick and tired of the corporate-dominated and celebrity-fixated news media, I say, stop whining and subscribe to In These Times. Do it now and find out what you're missing. Look for In These Times in bookstores near you or visit them on the web at www.inthesetimes.com. That's www.inthesetimes.com.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that.
But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Mike Malloy is rational, and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
Why don't you put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal
goof?
Yeah. I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. So Eric Rudolph, now he's going to be tried in Alabama first because the case over there would be a little bit easier to prove. And then he'll immediately after that trial, court, if everything goes according to John Ashcroft's master plan, he'll be brought here to Georgia to stand trial for the charges against him here. Rudolph, though, is a former soldier and survivalist. Interesting to me that very few of the press reports identify him as a member of the Christian Identity Movement, which is... You know, they make the Ku Klux Klan look like liberals. They make the American Nazi Party look like a Sunday afternoon in the park. The Christian Identity Movement, if you are not a white, male, Christian evangelical, you're subject to all sorts of bad stuff happening to you. If you're female, you will shut up. You will sit down. You will not say anything unless you're spoken to. If you're gay... Or transgendered, or bi, or whatever, you know, if you're not absolutely heterosexual, your ass will be executed slowly. If you're a member of one of the mud races, you know, Jews, Latinos, African Americans, you know, one of the mud races, Central Americans, South Americans, you are to be removed from the earth as quickly as possible. These are the sickest sons of bitches that exist within the Christian, quote-quote, religion. These people are beyond sick. Beyond sick. These are the ones, when you meet them on the street, you shoot first and then ask questions. They are that evil and degenerate. Well, that's Eric Rudolph's gang. Now, the interesting part is how, after all this time, he all of a sudden he turns up outside a dumpster, digging around looking for breakfast. What is up with that? Two people are dead as a result of the alleged charges against Rudolph, and about 150 injured. But isn't it, I don't mean to trivialize the deaths or the injuries of these people whatsoever, but I have to say this. What's the word I'm looking for? Is it irony? Is it gross, dark humor? What is it that Ashcroft has to see that this guy is tried? This is a guy who tries to kill queers and abortion providers and liberals, I guess. You know, this very same people that Ashcroft would put to the sword if he could. And yet Ashcroft's Justice Department now has to kind of ride herd on this case. But it isn't there, and again, it sounds awful. It sounds like I'm trivializing two deaths and 150 injuries, which I am not. I am anti-death penalty, 100% anti-death penalty, except for guys like this. and the Timothy McVeigh type. See, none of us are ever 100%, are we? Right? Huh? I guess. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to think about that statement. But imagine the position the religiously insane Ashcroft finds himself in, because he is religiously insane identically to the religious insanity of Eric Rudolph. So Ashcroft has to make sure that one of his bros gets the full force of state and federal law with the certainty in this case. If he's convicted, the certainty of the death penalty. That must be hell for Mr. Ashcroft, don't you think? Huh? I find it extremely hilarious. And I just found out I'm gay. I come home to a friggin' zoo, but it don't get me uptight. Cause I live on a lakeside trailer park and everything's gonna be alright. My doctor bills and legal ills, my wife's a fat old horse. My TV's broke, my life's a joke, and a sheriff moved next door. I don't frown, don't get me down, I got something good to say. Cause I live in a lakeside trailer park and everything's gonna be okay. It's so serene, white and clean. So safe in here, I could spend all year in my lovely aluminum house.
You're strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25.
Oh, man. I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm John Hamilton. Flight attendants with Southwest Airlines began demonstrations at airports in Texas last week as contract talks turned to issues of pay.
We're just out at the airport doing a friendly demonstration. We have been in contract negotiations for over a year, and we're trying to negotiate a contract that will enable our Southwest Airlines flight attendants to continue providing the excellent customer service that they have for 33 years.
Tom McDaniel of Transport Workers Union Local 556 says Southwest flight attendants should be paid for all the time they spend on the job rather than simply time spent in the air.
We spend several hours a day working, turning the airplanes and cleaning the airplanes, for which we're not paid for.
McDaniel says the transport workers hope to resolve economic issues in the next 60 days. Median pay for Southwest flight attendants is less than $25,000 a year, a rate 20% below the industry average, making Southwest's flight attendants among the lowest paid in the U.S. airline industry.
A new report from a Delhi-based labor rights group says India's tea industry is in a state of near collapse. Faced with increased exports from Indonesia and Vietnam, which has depressed the global market price of tea by nearly one-third over the last 5 years, tea plantations in India have slowly been failing. Now the Center for Education and Communication reports that since the price of tea began falling, more than 60,000 people have been thrown out of work, and workers on at least 9 plantations haven't been paid since October of 2000. As a result, some plantations are being looted as workers divide up this year's crops among themselves as payment. The average daily wage for Indian tea plantation hands is about $1.60. The CEC says if the tea industry would first guarantee the basic living needs of plantation workers, it would go a long way to both increasing production and improving the quality of the crops.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Hi, Truth Seekers. This is Kathy Bay, producer of The Mike Malloy Show on the IE America Radio Network. I invite you to join Mike Malloy every night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time for 3 hours of passionate, progressive, political talk radio. Stay connected. Join Mike Malloy as he heats up the airwaves on the radio, the Internet, and Sirius Satellite Channel 145. Join the resistance. Listen weeknights at 9 p.m. and give Mike a call. 1-800-TALK-YES.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do? Being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals.
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone and
and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. And Doc is calling from Wisconsin. Hey, Doc. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about you?
I'm just great, but I'll tell you what. If waiting to get on your show were called foreplay, it'd be called a Harry Ream show. You know, I've had two good bowel movements and finished the crossword puzzle.
I'm sorry it took so long, Doc. You know how it is on this program. We always think we're going from A to B, but we go to A, from A to E, and then to D, then C, then we get to B. I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, I'm glad you got a lot of callers. I like your new website, and when I figure it out, I'm going to fill it up.
Yeah, me too.
If anybody can do it, I can.
Yeah, right.
Short anecdotal story.
All right.
Yeah, I need some new glasses.
Yeah.
So I'm out going to the different optical stores to compare prices, and they're running. I go to four or five stores. They run about $400 to $600. How does that sound?
That sounds pretty expensive to me.
Yeah. Anyway, I go in the store and talk to the optician. I think all but one were young ladies, 30 to 40,
right.
Good lookers,
yeah,
intelligent,
yeah.
And one young man. And I described to them, I said, I want some no-rim eyeglasses. I'm going to get rid of these old big glasses that I've got. And they looked and looked and looked, and finally they came up with these things. But have you seen the new glasses? The lenses are about the size of quarters.
Yes, I've seen those.
And I thought, how the hell am I going to get trifocals in these things?
Right,
you know,
right.
And the no line. And I said, she said, well, this is the only way they come. I said, well, haven't you ever seen Bill Moyers?
Right.
And they asked each person this.
How
many do you think ever saw Bill Moyers?
They probably know who in the hell you're talking about.
No. Now, here's the last one. I said, how about Donald Rumsfeld?
Yeah.
And not one of them have ever heard of Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, come on.
I am not kidding you. I went home and went to the computer, got a picture of that SOB, ran it off, and took it back to them. So maybe all is not lost.
Now,
you know, I just think they're not informed out there. A lot of people aren't informed. They don't know what's going on. They're working a lot of jobs. They watch the boob tube. What the hell's the difference whether we're drowning at 20 feet or 60 feet of water? We're still drowning.
Yeah, I can possibly understand somebody. I mean, it's hard to understand, but I can understand how somebody around 30 would not necessarily know who Bill Moyers is. But Donald Rumsfeld?
I'm telling you, to a person, not one of them had ever even heard of Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, my God. Oh, well. So what conclusion did you draw from that other than we are a very ignorant people?
Well,
that's it, huh?
Whatever. Don't have time to, you know, get any information at all. By the way, did that cat, Lisa ever get hold of you from that all hat, no cattle?
Yes, we've had a couple of emails back and forth, and so did the other woman that you insisted I get in touch with.
Oh, that other woman. Kathy's going to be jealous if you ever saw that other woman.
Well, it's All Hat, No Cattle. What's the other website?
I just think it's All Hat, No Cattle. That's
But there were two people you wanted me to get in touch
with. Well, Lisa, and I don't know who the other one was. I can't remember her name. Lisa's emailed me a couple times.
Well, we're going to combine forces and levitate the Pentagon. It's coming sure as God made little green apples, Doc.
Oh, I think you guys would be perfect together. You're doing a great job.
Well, thanks, Doc.
Love your show.
All right, sir. Take care.
You too.
All right. That's Doc, who has done probably done more to promote and publicize this program than IE America Radio has done, when you get right down to it. Doc has gotten word about this program out all over the place. Bless his heart. Mike is calling from upstate New York. Mike, this is your first time calling, right?
Yes, it is.
Welcome to the program. I know you've been holding on since God was a teenager, too, right?
Well, a couple minutes, yeah, but it's not that bad.
Okay.
A couple things real quick.
All right.
One, absolutely love your show.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Like it so much that I did something I'm hoping a lot of other folks will do. Went to whiterosesociety.org.
Yeah.
And they've got an archive of your shows for, like, the last 3 weeks. So
right.
What I did.
Right.
Grab the archive, grab last week's shows, burn them down onto a CD.
Yeah.
And we've just been passing them out to friends and friends.
Oh, man.
There and everywhere. Here, listen to it. Tell me what you think about it.
Well, you ought to sell them. Try to make a couple of bucks.
Well, okay. What? You can tell me why.
Well, as you hand them out to your friends, drop one by your local radio station.
Well, I'm planning on doing that too. Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I very, very much appreciate that. That's how I was just mentioning Doc, the caller on right before you, who has certainly just gone out of his way over the past 4 or 5 years to promote this program, and especially since I came to this network. So if you're doing anything even remotely the same, thank you very much. I do appreciate it.
Well, there's nobody else out there really saying what you're. There's no one saying what you're saying in a commercial radio station out there in a commercial setting at all. You're the only one doing that.
Well, I'll tell you. Let me tell you about one other program you might want to tune into. It's on this network. It's on every afternoon from 2 to 5 Eastern Time, and that's my colleague Peter Werby.
Yeah, right.
Now he doesn't get as hysterical as I do. I've said before he usually reaches for his meditation pillow when I reach for my gun, but he has a good program too.
Yeah, and I guess I wanted to ask you about that. I was on hold and listening to it. And what's up with that whole gun thing and the liberal thing, man? Is that a Southern thing going on there, or what?
No, that's just me. I was brought up in an environment where we did hunting. I had an uncle who taught his son, who's my cousin. Taught us how to use firearms responsibly. First time I fired, I think it was a 410 shotgun. I was probably 11 years old. I've done a lot of small game hunting. I've qualified for marksman and sharpshooter medals in using rifles. And I'm not obsessed with guns. I would rather live in a society where there are no guns, frankly. But that's not where we live.
Exactly.
I don't like guns. I don't like what they do. Well, let's be honest. I hate them. But mm-hmm. I live in Bush's America, so I'm going to be mm-hmm. armed. You know, I'm going to be armed. And I used to be an NRA member back when I was in my 20s, back when the NRA was about gun safety and about environmental issues and the wilderness, when it became just another neo-Nazi organization, I got out of it.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, just like Michael Moore was a member of the NRA,
yeah,
too.
I was going to mention that, too, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is why I'm going to tell you why I was really calling. I was really calling because, you know, you had mentioned, I believe it was last week on Friday, you were just going through that whole list of lies that the Bush administration
right.
has been telling.
About the weapons of mass destruction?
Exactly.
Right.
And I guess what was funny to me, you know, it really does go to this whole media consolidation that we have now, because even what's at least labeled liberal NPR, which isn't liberal at all by any stretch of the imagination anymore.
No.
Listening to Talk of the Nation, the 2 o'clock show, and they were beating around the bush talking about weapons of mass destruction and why they hadn't found them and how there was an intelligence failure, and it dawned on me, you know, there was no intelligence failure. The intelligence community told us right off the bat, they said, hey, look, guess what? He ain't got nothing, but even if he has something, he's not going to use it unless you invade. But if you invade, he's going to use it if he's got it, so don't invade.
Well, I don't know if you heard the first hour of the program, but that's what Matt, our Boston bureau chief, that was the point that he made. A lot of ex-CIA and people who are in the CIA are getting thoroughly pissed because what's being batted around conservative media is that phrase you just brought up, a failure of, you know, some sort of intelligence failure. That's not the case. The CIA had told anybody who would listen, he doesn't have these weapons. They were destroyed. He can't respond. Look, you know, I mean, even as stupid as we Americans are, does it not occur to any of us that in the attack on Iraq, not only were no so-called weapons of mass destruction used, but Saddam's army didn't send a single tank. There was not a single Iraqi Air Force plane that took off. Nothing. We went in. It was another turkey shoot.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does that dawn on the American public? Not only were there no chemical or biological or nuclear weapons, this sorry bastard didn't even have conventional weapons.
No, nothing.
Nothing. Couldn't respond. No wonder the so-called Republican Guard and this group and that group, the ones that weren't bought off, the commanders that were bought off by the Bush crime family, they said to their soldiers, hey, look, take off your uniform and go home. But the people who were left who might have been willing to fight, what the hell were they going to fight with?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly.
So, Yeah, it's not an intelligence failure. It's an impeachable offense by these people who now run this government. And, of course, with Congress in control of the Republicans, there will never be impeachment hearings or articles of impeachment agreed upon and then a trial in the Senate unless the Democrats get control. And then maybe it'll happen. But I just don't see that happening. Democrats are just gutless bastards who are just going along to get along.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you another question, and I'll let you go.
Sure.
Two people I don't know if you've ever brought guests in on your show, but two to go along with what you're saying, there's Scott Ritter.
I've had him on. I've had him on, yeah.
Great. And I forgot who the gentleman's name is, but there's a gentleman out there who's already pulled together the article of impeachment for Bush.
Yeah, well, there's two. Ramsey Clark, former attorney general, but also the professor from University of Illinois at, where was it, Kathy, and Champaign-Urbana, Illinois. I've had him on, too, yeah, both of them.
Okay.
All right. Well, hey, listen, Mike, I'm glad you found the program. Spread the word. I hope to hear from you again, pal.
Oh, you will. Thanks.
All right, sir. Take care. Take care indeed. Yeah, you know, first of all, I hate the term weapons of mass destruction. To me, that means nuclear bombs, okay? Okay, so chemical, biological weapons. But, you know, you take a country that like Iraq and the mass murder that was committed against that country by us, the mass death that was committed between the Iranians and the Iraqis in their war in the early and mid 80s, I think I read that as many as a million Iraqi men died in that war. Maybe 800,000 Iranian men died in that war. That's the reason Iraq now, the population, half the population is under 15. Everybody was slaughtered. And then in the early 90s, during Bush 1's war, how many Iraqis were slaughtered then? Another 200,000? I guess we'll never know. 250,000 something. You know, there's no way of knowing. In the current slaughter, roughly 6,000-7,000 Iraqi civilians. God only knows how many Iraqi military. But the point is, not only did they not have weapons of so-called mass destruction, they did not even have adequate artillery pieces or tanks. They're fighting. And now I notice on television, I saw some video from Iraq, and it's starting to look like the occupied territories in the Palestinian homeland. It's starting to, you know, Iraqis throwing rocks at U.S. troops. And it looks very reminiscent of Palestinian young people throwing rocks at Israeli tanks. So, you know, here we are. And that, of course, is what's going to happen in Iraq. Absolutely. The same thing. There's not going to be democracy. There's not going to be law and order. Americans are going to continue to die. They're going to continue to kill. And it's going to go on and on and on. There will be bombings. There will be U.S. barracks blown to pieces. There will be American young men dying. There will be Iraqis slaughtered by the tens and tens and maybe hundreds. But the Bush crime family is pro-death. They don't care about any of this stuff. They just want to make sure they have the oil and they have the military bases. They are willing to accept, the Bush crime family, as a certain attrition rate. They've already factored it in, one can guess. Well, now, if we have 200,000 troops here in this country, we're going to lose, roughly 30 U.S. Military personnel a month, average one a day. Well, that's acceptable to them, to the families that are seeing their sons killed. It may not be acceptable. But those families will be told that their sons died defending liberty and freedom and so on and so forth. And those families will desperately want to believe that. They will not want to believe that their sons were killed in an act of international banditry handled by the Bush crime family. You know, that's pretty hard to take. Like I say, if I had a child, if I had a son who had been killed in this attack on Iraq, I would arm myself and start walking toward the White House, and I'd keep walking until somebody shot me. But that's not my situation, you see. I don't have a child of draft. Well, there is no draft. I don't have a child who is of an age that would consider the military. Now, if this country were literally attacked by an invading force, every one of my five children, the boys and the girls, the men and the women, would take up arms and defend this country, I have no doubt. As would I. Robin is calling from Victor, West Virginia. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Mike. Good evening. You know, I think I'm going to move to Wisconsin. I want to live somewhere where they don't know who Rummy is.
Right. But you also have to but in the same place, they don't know who Bill Moyers is either. So it's kind of a wash.
It's kind of a cheesy paradise, I guess.
There you go.
A couple of things.
Cheesy paradise. He said that and went right by me. Yeah, that's it. Exactly.
Are you familiar with the only question, and this is not a joke, the only question that Bush asked while he was at Auschwitz?
I am not.
It's kind of sickening. He went through the whole tour, and he looked at the tour guide, and like Dave Barry says, I'm not making this up. He says, do people question your version of events?
Oh, my God.
Does that just stop you in your tracks?
I don't know how to respond.
Not anymore, of course.
Yeah, I don't know how to respond. Do people question your version of events? It's just, of course... too stupid to be president would ask a question like that. After all, his grandfather, I understand, made an awful lot of money on the slave labor at Auschwitz after funding the regime that built those death camps. Prescott
was
Bush.
I.G. Farben?
Yeah, well, Prescott Bush made money on the slave labor. I just don't understand how any Jew can come within 1,000 feet of George Bush without vomiting. Let me put you on hold. I'll come right back to you, and we'll finish up, Victor. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Strapped into 700 horses of pure power.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
But you're twitching from the itching, squirming from the burning, and you've got 500 laps to go.
I should have used Preparation H.
Cool it fast with Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact for fast relief.
Lap number 25!
Oh man, I should have used Preparation H.
Preparation H Cooling Gel. Cools on contact. Uses directed.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-444-1984. That's 444-1984. 1-800-444-1984.
Do you want to own a computer but have less than perfect credit? Bad credit? No credit? No problem. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months, Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved. Guaranteed. You heard right. You're approved for a brand new name brand computer. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now. If you can afford a payment of as little as $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, you're already approved. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-823-0157 right now and tell us where you want your brand new name brand computer delivered. If you can afford $35 a week for just 12 months and have a checking or savings account, your brand new state-of-the-art PC will be on its way. Guaranteed. Bad credit, no problem. Blue Hippo Funding says you're approved for the computer of your dreams. Guaranteed. Call right now. 1-800-823-0157.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by the good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julene Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to www.ieamericaradio.com.
Listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 5 before the hour, and we're talking with Robin in Victor, West Virginia, about Bush at Auschwitz.
Yeah, that was sickening enough, but before that happened, for some strange reason, I was up in the wee small hours of the morning Sunday and actually caught the live feed of the press conference from whatever hall it was in St. Petersburg, Russia,
right,
between Putin and Bush. And I know that there's a lot of computer-savvy folks that listen to your show, and if any of them can get you some video captures to put on your highfalutin new intergalactic spaceport of a website.
Boy, I'd love to see it.
Oh, God, Mike. It was one of those can't I please be from Belize for a little while kind of moments. Because Putin would sit there all presidential, and he would speak, and then he would wait for the translator to translate into English, and it was all very professional.
Right.
And Bush, meanwhile, is on the other side there. Do you remember Goober? Mayberry?
Yeah.
Andy Griffith?
Yeah.
You know, however, every now and then, this is a tough sell on radio, he'd kind of lean over with that little thumb and go.
I think I do remember that.
That's exactly what he looked like.
Is it, well, Bush? Yeah, well.
And of course, I was waiting, saying, you know, there's going to be a payoff pitch in here somewhere.
Right.
And finally, I heard it.
Yeah.
And it was something along the lines of, and of course, we understand the Russians' own fight against terror in Chechnya.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. I thought that was a civil war, but.
Well, it's been a civil war for what now, 200 years? I mean, that's just a sore that won't heal between Chechnya and the Russians. I mean, it'll never stop. That's not a war against terror anyway. That's just absolute utter hatred. I mean, that's like Israelis and Palestinians. That's like Northern Irish Protestant and Catholics. You know, Chechnya and Russia, they have to exist in their dance of death. And Bush understands Chechnya to the same degree that I understand, I don't know, advanced
particle physics.
There you go. There you go. Or quantum mechanics. You know, Bush understands nothing. It's just, okay, can we get to the food now?
I think it was probably that ice-cold vodka.
Now,
they say you can't smell that on the breath.
Yeah, you can't. You can't feel it when it removes the bottom part of your legs from your knees, either, until you take that first step.
Well, I hope some folks can get you some video and maybe some audio of it, because it was stunningly horrifying.
I'd like to see it. Robin, thanks for checking in, pal.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot.
All right, sir, have a nice evening. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Steve Damschroeder. Thanks, Steve. Produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay and Robin Bittman announces for us. Thanks to Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive for the great new website. We can't keep calling it a new website, Kathy. It's just going to, we're going to have to get past that here. But thanks to Mark Marshall for creating it. I'll see you tomorrow night. I hope. I really, really hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
From the network that brings you different points of view from the likes of Peter Werby and Mike Malloy, now a different point of view on the news. IE America is proud to present WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. WINS is a unique news service that focuses on issues that affect our daily lives. WINS is not about what big business wants you to hear. WINS is about us. To hear WINS, go to IEAmericaRadio.com and click on WINS. If you like what you hear, call your local radio station and say you want WINS. It's something different. It's from IE America and WINS. The Peter Werby Show is now airing at a new time. Hi, it's Julian Jordan. The IE America Radio Network has added many exciting new shows to the lineup, and in doing so, the Peter Werby Show has a new time slot. It's weekdays, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we share with you progressive views about peace and social justice that you won't find in the corporate and conservative media. Join us, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern on the IE America.